The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'm in this beautiful plane. I'm enjoying myself. I have a wonderful suit on. And one of my people came in and said, sir, you know, the word garbage is the hottest thing right now out there. The hottest thing out there. Sir, would you like to drive a garbage truck? Now, we're about, 30 minutes from landing. We had to do this pretty quick. I said, it's sort of cool, though, isn't it? Because, And I said, I think that's okay, but, I don't feel comfortable wearing a suit. And they pulled up this garbage truck. I don't know how the hell they did it so fast. I have very capable people. They put a big sign on the truck. Did you see it? I think they saw it. And then they said, sir, we have a vest. I said, well, should I leave my suit on and put it over the vest? But that doesn't look very good, right? That doesn't look good. So I said, all right, look, let me take it off. And then I actually said, I climbed into the truck. So I said, how do you get into this truck? It's way up high. It's a big one. This was a beauty. I said, you didn't have to buy it that big, right? You have to get it that big. They brought this brand new, gorgeous truck, wonderful driver. He looked like Cary Grant in his prime. You know who that is? This beautiful driver. And he drove that big thing up. And I said, man, this is bad, because now I have all the cameras are all watching. Look at all the fake news. They were most of them. Now, most of them, many of them were there. And I'm saying, oh, boy, one little mistake with these guys and your political career is over. You can't even. So I said, man, if I don't get up there, this is going to be very embarrassing. These stupid people, they'll say, he's cognitively and physically impaired. And I can't do that when I'm alongside of this great athlete. I got to get up to the stair. The first stair is like up here. I'm saying. So I had the adrenaline going and I made it. I made it. And then I gave a little news conference from the front of the, they asked their wise guy questions and everything. And then we drove about 2 feet. I got out, got into the plane. And then I got in the car and I'm driving over here and I have this still on. And I come into the arena and I say, where's my jacket? I want to get out of this thing. And they said, it would be unbelievable if you could wear it on stage. I said, no way. I got 25,000 people standing outside. I got all these people here. There's no way I'm wearing it on stage. They said, oh, okay, sir. I said, get me my jacket. But if you did, it actually makes you look thinner. I said, ooh. And they got me. I said, I want to wear it on stage. When they said I look thinner, I said, in that case, I'll wear it on stage.
Remind me, which party is it that has all the joy and the good vibes? 5 days away from the most consequential election in U.S. history, or at least one of the top two or three. 5 days away, and there he is. He's wearing his garbage truck vest and telling the story yesterday. And it's just hilarious. And like Joe Rogan said in the interview with him last week, the comedic, forget about the political instincts. I mean, the comedic timing that this man has, it's remarkable. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show every single weekday. Weekday morning here in Oklahoma, 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com. Or to the Rumble channel, rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. And also don't forget, the show has a replay every evening on LFA TV. That too is a Rumble channel. So he stages another scene
And the regime media, again, they don't know how to respond to this. They ask their wise guys questions and the fake media there. I mean, this is a man, as I was discussing with Sam earlier this morning, this is someone who understands the media, the press, better than they understand themselves. He's in this garbage truck. He's got the orange vest on. And then he allows for the reporters to give their questions. He's got a presser going on the tarmac inside the garbage truck. And the reporters, they're asking these very serious questions they have to ask. And none of them are talking about what they're seeing, which is absolutely hilarious. Why'd you get the garbage truck out here? They all know, I mean, but they won't bring it up. There were people that were actually in that presser asking about the comedian, his garbage joke, and apologizing to Puerto Rico, but none of them, so far as I know, asked anything about Joe Biden's remark. The media come with their very serious questions because, you know, they went to Columbia and they're very serious journalists. And the rest of America is laughing hysterically, just like you heard at the rally last night in Green Bay. Listen to, this is ABC as they're breaking into the presser around the garbage truck, clip two.
Come back with some breaking news here. We want to take you to North Carolina, where you can clearly see there Donald Trump is taking questions from reporters inside a truck. Let's go ahead and listen in.
I think we're going to have a big enough victory to maybe have it that night. You should always have it, Bill. You know, every night, if you look at France, 38 million votes. At 10 o'clock in the evening, it was over. All paper ballots, all voter ID, one-day voting, and it was over. How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
President Trump, you asked for law enforcement to investigate in Pennsylvania. If they find no evidence of cheating, will you accept the result if you lose?
The reporter, he doesn't even respond to what Trump says there. How do you like my garbage truck? This is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden. Oh, President Trump, we have a very serious question to ask you. Come on. Where's the party of joy? Who has the good vibes? These reporters, you could talk about Trump not being a politician, and he wasn't. But, you know, you think about the ways that God prepared this man for his role, his prophesied role. I've talked earlier this week about how consistent his message has been for 30 or 40 years, quite unlike the regime media that had one message about Trump, and it was pure love right up until the escalator in 2015. Since then, it is pure hate. And we have the receipts to show you because it's all on film. It's captured on film. This morning at the forum, I was just reminding the students of all of these miraculous turns that we've seen over the past 3-4 months. And in talking about the July 13 assassination attempt in particular, I mean, God orchestrated all of that in a way where it was the most dramatic and miraculous that you could have pieced together as a Hollywood scriptwriter. For the head tilt and the bullet to actually graze his ear and then his bloodied face and then the fight. I mean, how many iconic photos, by the way, do we now have of this man? Think of one iconic photo shot of Kamala Harris. You can't think of one. There are none. With this man, I mean, just this year, you've got that one. You've got the mugshot. You've got the waving outside the McDonald's restaurant drive-thru. And then now you've got the garbage truck. My refrigerator magnets are going to be overtaking the fridge before we know it. This man, though he wasn't a politician until 2016, he has rubbed shoulders with just about every politician known in our modern era. He's donated to campaigns. And you know another thing that this man understands? How to use the media. Because he's been in the spotlight. He's been in the spotlight in New York, nationally even, since the 1980s. He's been a celebrity on a TV show. As I say, he knows, he understands the media in ways that they don't understand themselves. I mean, in that way, he's a lot like Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh, who could just predict how the drive-bys, as he often said, would react to any given story. He was like right in their heads, Limbaugh. And Donald Trump is the same way. Here they are, the serious journalists, I mean. And, you know, they've tried and tried and tried to dismiss what Biden said. Well, he's not running for office. And, well, he, you know, he's got the stutter. And, you know, well, where does the apostrophe go? That kind of thing. And then Trump pulls up in the garbage truck and makes them address something or at least acknowledge something that they would not have acknowledged otherwise. Hey, what do you think of my garbage truck? What do you think about the garbage truck I'm in? He drives the narrative, whether they will or not, and he knows that they won't. So there, you heard the story. They put this together. Here again, we're 5-6 days away from the election. Mr. Trump, what do you think about being picked up in a garbage truck? Yeah, I guess so. How about the vest? Well, usually I'll wear my suit, but I guess I can throw on the vest. How about if you use the vest tonight at Green Bay for your rally? Okay, yeah, it makes you look thinner. Hilarious stuff. Just pause for a moment and appreciate someone who is not in any way intimidated by the regime media. He uses them. He gets a message out despite their attempts to blot it out. But he is not afraid of them. It's as if he's without fear. We've talked so often about his courage. He's the right man for the job that God has for him to do. Here's CNN as they break into the garbage truck presser, clip 7.
250 million people. That's what I think the real number is for making America great again. 250 million, the real number. They don't think in terms of garbage, okay? They don't use terms like that. And it's a shame. And Joe Biden should be ashamed of himself if he knows what he's even doing. And she should be ashamed because she shouldn't let him do it. She's the vice president, but I assume she's acting as the president. She should never have let that happen. I hope you enjoyed this garbage truck. Thank you very much.
All right, Trump sitting in a garbage truck in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wolf Blitzer. All right, Trump sitting in a garbage truck in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I hope you enjoy this garbage truck. That's how he ended the presser. I hope you enjoyed it. And then the media, they just, you know, they ignore that. They pretend like they're still very, very serious journalists. Listen to, you know, by the way, the best part of both of these iconic photos, the most recent ones, you've got McDonald's a week and a half ago. Now you've got the garbage truck. Look at how naturally he just fits into that position as a blue-collar worker. Again, imagine Kamala trying to pull this off. Trump, obviously, and of course the ones that are there to fact check things, Donald Trump's not actually a garbage truck driver. Oh, really? Thank you. Thank you, legacy media. Look at this. He's 78 years old. They wanted to make a story out of the fact that he missed the handle or he stumbled getting up into the rig. I think at 78, he's doing pretty good for himself. To pull himself up inside this semi truck, basically. Tom Cotton tweeted out that the Biden-Harris economy is so bad that seniors have to work two jobs just to make ends meet. And then he's got a picture of Trump at McDonald's and then in the garbage truck. Which party is the party of joy and good vibes? So obvious. I mean, I mentioned yesterday, even the garbage narrative exploded in their faces. They were trying to get some traction with the joke that a comedian made on Sunday. How could someone at the garbage truck presser bring up the comedian's joke and not Joe Biden's comment, who destroyed their narrative just 48 hours later? I mean, even the smallest of ways, their attacks on Donald Trump continue to backfire. Listen to the legacy media, the regime media here, as it embarrasses itself, trying to explain away what Joe Biden said Tuesday night, clip 8.
Also, it's important to know that the president always has that battle against stuttering, and that seemed to be apparent in this as well. And clearly, this is a verbal gaffe that is problematic politically.
As someone who had a stutter growing up, it's very obvious to me that there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves.
He heard the apostrophe. He heard it when the fake president said it. Obviously. I mean, as someone that grew up with a stutter, of course it was a stutter. There was an apostrophe. He's misunderstood. And by the way, how many people are out there saying, look, nobody understands what Joe Biden is saying anyway. He's the president of the United States. I made this point yesterday. How can you dismiss it as a comment coming from a senile old man and at the same time say, yeah, he should be the president. No need for the 25th Amendment here. He's in office 3 more months. This story, I don't watch The Daily Show. That's the funny show on the Comedy Channel, I believe. But if it's making it into the Daily Show, if that means it's reaching a left-wing audience. Listen to this from last night, clip 4.
The initial White House transcript, as provided to NBC News, suggests Mr. Biden was, in fact, talking broadly about Trump supporters. But then the White House updated the transcript after a conversation with the president, suggesting he was singling out one particular Trump supporter.
The White House very quickly tried to argue that when he used the word supporters, he wasn't talking about Trump supporters writ large, but that there was an apostrophe in there. That is what is included in the official transcript. They tried to argue that he was specifically referencing the comments from that comedian at the Madison Square Garden rally on Sunday.
That's right. In the last week of the campaign, Republicans are calling for a roundup of immigrants, and Democrats are like, you have to put the apostrophe in the right place. This election is really coming down to Nazis versus grammar Nazis.
You hear the audience laugh over the apostrophe remark, not over the, you know, Trump is Hitler, Trump supporters are Nazis. The apostrophe Nazis, that gets the big laugh. It's a joke. And to hear the very serious journalists, as I say, justify it. The White House transcript, they come out with an apostrophe after supporters, after the S, and then they adjust it later and put the apostrophe before the S. Because, well, obviously. And then they're expecting people, Americans, voters, to take them very serious. I mean, if they're serious, even outside the garbage truck, then you better be serious too. As I say, though, the rest of America, they're laughing. They're laughing. And they're admiring the political instincts and brilliance of Donald Trump and his staff, his team. Washington Post, embarrassing itself with this headline. Did Biden call Trump supporters garbage? It comes down to an apostrophe. This actually made it into the Washington Post. I mean, Jeff Bezos better hurry if he's gonna bring in more conservative contributors to the Washington Post. He's already made headlines, Bezos, for basically saying we're not going to come out and endorse Kamala. But here's one of their left-wing writers or journalists writing about where an apostrophe should be on the White House transcript. It says here, for years, Republicans have strained to recreate the political magic that was Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables comment. This was when Clinton, in September 2016, decided to label as many as half of Donald Trump's supporters as racist, sexist, Islamophobic, and/or xenophobic. She soon walked it back, but the damage was done.
And of course here, of course, the tone of this is that now the Republicans, they're ready to pounce. They're ready to pounce on this word. Oh, you mean like you guys pounced on the joke from Sunday? As again, you know exactly the way they're going to come down. You knew as soon as he said it Tuesday night. I thought to myself, okay, Morning Joe, this morning, Tuesday morning, 20-minute monologue on garbage. And as soon as Biden was recorded as saying that Trump supporters are garbage, you knew that Wednesday morning it was going to be a completely different monologue. And it was. And it was. As I said yesterday, then they couldn't even mention the word garbage. I mean, it was too obscene, I guess. These people, think about how different everything in the United States would be if we had an honest press or media. But what's amazing, as I was telling the students this morning in forum, is that the truth, it's beginning to surface despite the best efforts of the regime to blot it out, to stamp it out. Now, it's been happening here over the last 2-3 years. And, you know, you can go back to, well, not just Donald Trump and the message that he gets out, no matter how many people try to squash it, try to blot it out or block it. But then you add to that recent developments with Elon Musk and Twitter and so on. I'll play you in a moment just an exchange that was on CNN that would not have happened 2 or 3 years ago. The truth, as I say, it's amazing, even in looking at all of these events, 3-4 months past, to see God's hand, it's so obvious. And so many of these miracles have even been captured on film, on video, like July 13. And as I said to the students, I mean, God wants us to appreciate his involvement. His fingerprints are on so many of these events. But even the truth emerging, God said he would expose these treasonous actors. God is revealing the truth, even on places like CNN. Wolf Blitzer, very, very seriously, there's Trump in a garbage truck. Why is he in a garbage truck? It says here, Biden's increasing tendency to stumble over his words, which marred these very comments, makes it entirely possible that he didn't intend to tar large numbers of Trump supporters, as he soon clarified that he hadn't. So the Washington Post says, hey, let's talk for a moment about the apostrophe. No wonder people, never mind their very serious tone, even outside of a garbage truck with Trump sitting in the cab in an orange vest. Never mind that serious tone. These are clownish people. It says here, it may come down to the placement of an apostrophe, and it's worth a parse. Okay, come on. Come on. The Washington Post? This is not the Babylon Bee. This is the Post? It is. It's the Post. Listen again to this. This is a montage The Daily Show played, clip 3.
President Biden makes comments about Trump supporters, calling them, quote, garbage.
Joe Biden's garbage gaffe.
A political headache for Vice President Kamala Harris.
It has completely changed the narrative from where it was 24 hours ago.
He was clearly disparaging a whole group of people, more than half of this nation.
I do not even think during the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called the people of the Confederacy garbage.
So there's some conservative voices saying it's obviously hurt. I mean, they were talking about how a joke on Sunday was destroying Donald Trump's chances to win Pennsylvania. And then they just act like this, well, that's just an off-the-cuff remark. No big deal. It's not going to hurt Kamala in any way. I mean, it's not Joe Biden that's running for president. But it was the sitting president who said it, not some no-name comedian. And Kamala, for her part, she tries to distance herself from it, but she also adds, well, you know, Biden clarified that remark, so no big deal. Jesse Waters, just making a broad point about Trump's political skills, his instincts. Right here, as we're heading down the home stretch, 5 days from Election Day, or Election Month, really, we'll probably find out who wins in about 30-some days. But this is clip 9.
Trump's peeking out of a window of a garbage truck just a week after he peeked out of a McDonald's drive-through window. First the apron, now the vest. You can't unsee it. He's capitalizing faster than fast food. You're looking at a political athlete. This is less than 24 hours. Now, Kamala spent millions of dollars producing that speech last night at the Ellipse, and no one remembers it. No one's talking about it.
In large part because of Joe Biden's remark, totally sabotaging her campaign. No one remembers it. There's no iconic photos together with it. In the case of this, two shots in the last 10 days, one in a garbage truck, him wearing an orange vest, and the other one in the McDonald's drive-thru, wearing the McDonald's apron. And he was able to slip into both scenes and look totally authentic, or at least totally hilarious, in a good way. In a good way. You can't, as Jesse said there, you can't unsee it. Here he's being outspent in some cases by 2-3 or 2-1 or 3-1. And yet still, who's winning the battle on just getting, you know, attention through the media? If you're not going to cover it, that's fine. I'll roll up in the garbage truck in my orange vest, and then you'll have to. There was this exchange, speaking of the media here, being exposed, this exchange between Jake Tapper and J.D. Vance. I don't think I played this earlier this week. I've had it in my notes for a few days. In any event, to set up this piece by Molly Hemingway, who, again, is exposing the fraud in media circles, in the regime media. This is J.D. Vance pushing back hard on Jake Tapper about the hoaxes that CNN's out there actively promoting. Again, as I said earlier, I mean, we've got the receipts. It's on video. So much of this has been captured on video. And you just have to go back, in some cases, a few months. In other cases, a few years. And you see them for the frauds that they are. Clip 13.
Liz Cheney, he said, should be put before a war tribunal. None of that sounds fascist to you at all?
No, of course it doesn't.
Before a military tribunal?
First of all, I don't buy into the premise of what you're saying, Jake, because I just
said
on things that I know that he said, on things that I know that he said, you're imputing things, you're taking words out of context, you're taking two separate conversations and pretending that they were made at the exact same time. So I'm rejecting the premise of your question. I frankly don't believe what you're saying about Donald Trump's words. If you'd like to put up a clip and actually put him in context, I think the American people would realize that Donald Trump is a hell of a lot more reasonable than the people like Liz Cheney who would like to lie us into war. Now, Jake, we also have to remember, I mean, step back a little bit. Well, ask yourself a basic question about network integrity. You guys talked about the Russia hoax nonstop.
The FBI was investigating it, so we recovered them.
And so you took the words of unnamed FBI agents and put them on your network as if they were the gospel truth. You did it again and again. A viewer of your network would have believed that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin conspired in 2016.
No.
That was totally and preposterously false.
No.
Well, that's
what you just said is false. We covered an FBI investigation. I don't know why you want to talk about the FBI investigation.
You covered it in a way that gave credence to anonymous sources' accusations. You did it yourself. Your network did it, Jake.
I think we did cover this earlier in the week. But still, just to follow on, all that we're seeing more recently, so much is being exposed. This piece by Molly Hemingway, she talks about, and if you know the history, and we covered it back in 2017, CNN, they had the dossier. They just were waiting for a hook from the deep state, giving them a license to just proclaim this fraud of a story, this hoax. There's Tapper, for his part, saying, no, we were just, hey, the FBI was investigating it, so that's newsworthy. No, Clapper, he leaked it to your guys at CNN. And in Molly Hemingway's piece, she talks about how that I was in the studio there in 2017, and basically the guy next to Tapper, when another reporter, I think it was Jim Sciutto, was saying that, you know, we don't know exactly, where this came from or how this got started. They knew exactly how it all got going. And they basically said it off the air, and Hemingway was there to witness it. And Tapper, he held the arm of his colleague and said, listen, don't get into it. Don't say that openly, because we're very serious journalists, you see. So if we lie, if we cheat or steal or whatever it is, that's okay. You've just got to believe the narrative that we establish. And that one there, I mean, that was a false narrative that went on for years. I mean, there's people today, to this day, trying to resurrect it. Trump, Russia, collusion. No wonder Donald Trump has to show up in a truck, a garbage truck, or go to McDonald's to force people, to force these arrogant reporters to acknowledge, or at least to let the American people see, that Kamala didn't work at McDonald's and Joe Biden called 2/3 of America garbage. This is huge news. If a comedian can make a joke and that's all that Scarborough and company can talk about for 2 days, and then they go silent Wednesday morning, you know that they're corrupt. Jeff Bezos knows. He wrote an op-ed earlier this week saying, yeah, the media is biased and we got to get more conservative journalists at the Washington Post. As I said earlier this week, I mean, the billionaires are coming around to Trump. The billionaires, they're following Elon Musk's lead. And now you've got Bezos, who's probably sitting there thinking that, you know, Trump coming into office is inevitable. I don't want to be on his bad side. Listen to the regime as they melt down over Bezos not endorsing Kamala or not endorsing her through his newspaper. Clip 14.
You've been outspoken on this in the last couple of days, but what is your reaction to Jeff Bezos' piece this morning?
Well, I'm glad he spoke out. I'm glad he said what he felt he needed to say and provide some sort of explanation for his reasoning. It's clear that he was involved in the decision, despite the company's statement suggesting that he wasn't. Mm-hmm. I'm not satisfied. I mean, look, the Washington Post has been issuing endorsements for almost a half century, since 1976. What caused them to start doing endorsements in 1976? It was Watergate. There was a president who was abusing power, who was weaponizing government. That's an issue that exists today, that is certainly relevant during this presidential election. They only had one exception in 1988. Under Jeff Bezos' ownership, they provided presidential endorsements in 2016 and 2020, highly critical of Donald Trump in both of those presidential endorsements. This is not a way to inspire trust, is to cancel an endorsement a couple of weeks before one of the most consequential elections in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. It actually erodes trust, and it's evident it destroys trust.
Eroding trust is part of a descent into fascism. That's sort of part of the playbook. I'm just saying that.
Jeff Bezos is... opinion piece. The hard truth: Americans don't trust the news media. They don't trust the news media. He says, in the annual public surveys about trust and reputation, journalists and the media have regularly fallen near the very bottom, often just above Congress. But in this year's Gallup poll, we've managed to fall below Congress. Our profession is now the least trusted of all. Something we are doing is clearly not working. This is from the owner of the Washington Post. This is one of the world's richest men. Jeff Bezos. Yeah, we had a discussion at the end of the forum this morning about how that just a lot of things that go back to the Dear Leader in 2008, 2009, 2010. I mean, the arrogance and the pride and people just believing every word, swooning before the Dear Leader. And we talked about the devil behind all of these lies and the fact that Satan, the devil, he's the most self-righteous, arrogant being there is. And he's coming along to this day with a lot of the same messages, the same arrogance, the same pride, the same lies and deception. But they're just not working. as well as they did back in 2009, are they? Why is that? What's different? What's different about the dear leader today compared to, you know, the way that it was for him, say, 15 years ago? Why, as I said yesterday, why can Joe Biden, the fake president, or when he was campaigning before he stole the election or they stole it, why can he say, if you don't vote for me, you're not black? Why can he tell the black community that? And nobody thought anything of it 4 years ago. But now, Barack Obama, he gives a little lecture to young black men saying, if you don't vote Kamala, you're sexist. He's just rebuked for saying that, rebuked by the black community. What is different? Well, there are spiritual forces at work here. There's spiritual war going on. And God, just as he prophesied, he's intervening to save Israel temporarily by the hand of Jeroboam. And so he's not only bringing Donald Trump back, he's also exposing these evil actors that are responsible for so much of the bitter affliction. Now, the sickness runs deeper than just radical Democrats. We know this. But still, I mean, to see God's hand, to see God exposing the evil, the corruption, the criminality, and at the same time, even exposing truth. For Jeff Bezos to write this, he says, lack of credibility isn't unique to the Post. Our brethren newspapers have the same issue. And it's a problem not only for media, but also for the nation. Think about how think about how much more traction their message could receive. If Kamala, let's say, she's been asked this a number of times and she can't answer it. She hasn't even come up with a scripted answer. Even a pretty good lie would be better than what she's saying. Kamala, how, you know, people wonder, what are you going to do differently? Because you haven't really come out and said that you'd do anything differently than what Joe Biden has done. And yet you're talking about a new chapter. You're talking about this being a, you know, a time to finally put an end to the chaos. And she can't answer it. Think about how much better it would be received if she said, you know what, there are some things that, you know, we've made mistakes. The southern border, for example, I think there is a different approach that we can take to, you know, and we know the truth. I mean, in her heart of hearts, She wants to keep it wide open. That's part of the fundamental transformation. But just think about what a little bit of humility and a willingness to admit that you're wrong, that you've made mistakes. They cannot do this. The regime can't do it, and the regime media won't do it. Jake Tapper, for his part, right there, he could have said, well, JD, you know, you're right. We did. We got the leak from Jake Tapper. Sorry, from Clapper, sounds the same. We got the leak from Clapper, and we ran with the story, and we did frame it in a way that destroyed, or we hoped would destroy, Donald Trump. But they're not going to say that, are they? No, we didn't lie. We didn't make any mistakes. You hear the tone around the garbage truck. What do you think of my garbage truck, guys? Mr. President, will you accept the results of the election once they're announced on Tuesday, or if it's announced a few days after? They just move right on with their agenda, with their talking points. It says, many people are turning to off-the-cuff podcasts. This is Bezos. They don't trust us. They don't trust the Post. So where are they going? Well, they're going to Joe Rogan. They're going to some of these other podcasts that Donald Trump keeps appearing on. And they're having a conversation, like Joe Rogan had, with Donald Trump. And some of them, well, like Rogan's, they go on for hours. How can Joe Rogan produce a sit-down, conversational-style interview for 3 hours? I don't know. Is that every day? Does he do this every day? Or is it once a week? I'm not sure. I'm not a regular listener. But my point is, who would sit down, who would take time out of their schedule to listen to an interview for 3 hours? Answer, millions and millions of people. They wouldn't produce it, if not otherwise. or if it was otherwise. It says many people are turning to off-the-cuff podcasts, inaccurate social media posts, and other unverified news sources, which can quickly spread misinformation and deepen divisions. The Washington Post and the New York Times win prizes, but increasingly, we talk only to a certain elite. More and more, we talk to ourselves. That is Jeff Bezos, the owner of the Washington Post, saying that, you know, our guys, they're living in an echo chamber. We're talking to ourselves. No one's listening. They're tuning us out. And yet still, look at how easily Donald Trump can manipulate these people for his benefit. He shows up in the garbage truck. He looks just like you would expect a blue-collar worker to look. And he's a billionaire real estate tycoon. Hey, guys, what do you think of my truck? What do you think of the garbage truck? How about that? This is in honor of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden for making the garbage remark. They should be ashamed of themselves. The message goes out, despite the fact that there are thousands upon thousands in the regime that are actively working to cover up the truth, to keep the message from going out. As I said, you're seeing discussions on the regime media networks today that you couldn't have imagined seeing even a few years ago. Sam and I were talking about the garbage remark, how that even that is pretty, it's funny in and of itself. I mean, you see a lot of MAGA supporters that are just out there laughing at the fake president for saying it. I'm sure some are offended and some are more motivated to vote now because of it. But a remark that the fake president made during the COVID hysteria, I mean, that, you know, where Biden came out and basically threatened Americans. This is the regime, the authoritarian regime that's currently in control, that currently has the power and that's doing everything it can to hold on to that power. Listen to what Joe Biden said just 3 years ago, clip 12.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
And these people say that Donald Trump's the fascist. That's the fake president saying what the puppet master wanted him to say. You know, Barack Obama, we've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin. You better get vaxxed. They came out and said, you know, companies with 100 or more people, the government's going to make sure you're either vaxxed or you're having to take that COVID test every week. This was the government. Government employees were being fired for not being vaxxed. This is the way these people operate. This is the way they think. We don't need to go back to that history. It was dreadful. 2020, 2021. The vax police. The shelter-in-place police, the keep-your-social-distance police, people being arrested in parks. These are in Democrat strongholds, all of them. Well, listen to this exchange now. Just to, again, fast forward by 3 years. This happened on CNN. This was someone who talked to RFK and then comes in and basically drops a truth bomb on Caitlin Collins. And she didn't quite know how to handle this. Clip 11.
So I spent 2.5 hours this week with Bobby Kennedy Jr. And it was the most extraordinary thing. Because let's face it, we've all heard on the news all sorts of sort of snarky comments about him. And I said, so tell me, how's it going to go? And he said, Why don't you just listen to me explain things? And what he explained was when he was born, we had three vaccines and autism was one in 10,000. Now a baby's born with 76 vaccines because in 1986, they waived product liability for vaccines. And here's the best one. They started paying the people at the NIH, right? They pay them a piece of the money for the vaccine companies. Wait a minute, let me finish. And so all of these vaccines came out without product liability. So what happened now? Autism is one in 34.
Okay.
Amazing.
Neither of us are doctors.
We
are not. Vaccines are safe. RFK, I mean,
why do you think vaccines are safe? There's no product liability anymore. They're not proven.
Kids get them and they're fine.
Why do you think they're fine?
This is not where I thought this was going because...
Well, I spent 2.5 hours with it.
This is not quite where I thought it was going. He just had a couple of follow-ups. Did you hear it? The vaccines are safe, she says. This is the regime media. And his response is, why do you think they're safe? It's not related or connected to autism. Well, how do you know? How do you know this, Caitlin? And she went on to say how there have been all these studies, and this guy says, no, there haven't been, actually. But what we do have is little babies getting dozens and dozens of vaccines. For what? Well, for everything. It used to be three, now it's what, 76? It's unbelievable. And now here comes RFK. He's a left winger, and he's now comfortably sitting under the MAGA tent. And Donald Trump wants to put him in a prominent position with respect to physical health. And the man, for all of his faults, he's exposing some truth and he's exposing lies. Lies that there, look at how many lies there were during the COVID time. How do you think that would go over this time? Joe Biden coming out here in 2024 saying, listen, our patience is wearing thin with you people. You better get the jab. You better get the vaccine. I mean, they were saying that just 3 years ago. And now here comes this guy. Caitlin didn't, I mean, she was not expecting this. Yet the true RFK's message, what did he say to that journalist, the other guy that was on the left there? He said, listen, just hear me out, okay? Just listen to what I'm about to tell you. Listen to the facts. The truth is getting out. It's refreshing to see it. After years and years of darkness, lies, deception, so much is being revealed. So much is being plainly revealed. And as we've said over and over again, I mean, even what God says in 2 Kings 14, he's bringing all of this about, not because we're righteous. He's just exposing the sins. And he wants to make sure that we do something with this message, that we respond to these miracles, these miraculous twists and turns that we've been seeing. It's so obvious that God's presence is here. I mean, he's intervening. Not because we're righteous, but because he's not going to allow Israel's name to be blotted out. And he's going to give us one last opportunity to turn to him in repentance and faith. You look at some of the things I've covered in my life and teachings class this year. I've sounded like a broken record before the students and in other lectures I've given, but I mean, when it's a momentous event, you take the birth of Jesus Christ and God just spotlights so many miracles. A miraculous birth, if ever there was one. And then the miraculous way that Joseph and Mary end up in Bethlehem. And then all of those that made these grand pronouncements, the shepherds, the wise men, even Herod and the Sanhedrin, all of these people that knew about the prophecies of God. I've made the point before, but if you look at Matthew 2, the story of the 12 wise men there, I mean, the fact that they came from a great distance, hundreds of miles from the east, to worship the Christ child, to worship God in the flesh. And then you had these others also aware of the prophecies pointing to the arrival of the Christ child that were actively working, plotting to murder that little child. Herod, the Sanhedrin that was counseling Herod. How could you take the same information, the same prophecies, and be so far removed or so far to one extreme or the other? Who is right? Should God in the flesh have been worshipped, or should he have been murdered? Because there were human beings that thought in both of those directions. God, when we see God's presence, when we see his involvement, when we see his miraculous hand, he wants for us to bow down in reverential worship to him and say, hey, help me to serve you, to obey you, to support you. You're God. I'm nothing. I should have been assassinated, or I should have been destroyed long ago. But I see your involvement in my life or in the course of events in my nation, and I want to turn to you in humble submission. All of these events, God intervening to save Donald Trump's life, the catastrophic debate performance on June 27th, Kamala being installed by the Communist Party, and the fact that she's such a bad option politically. I mean, here she's been in politics for so long, and she has zero political instincts. And with Trump, he's off the charts. They install Kamala. How does this happen? The dear leader would have known, should have known, that just 4 or 5 years ago, nobody liked her. Nobody in the nation liked her. She didn't make it to Iowa. How did the dear leader not know that just 5-6 months ago, nobody in the Democrat Party liked her? And then as soon as she emerges, that would be what, July 21st? And whoever, maybe the dear leader was losing his control on the party even at that point. Maybe he didn't want Kamala. In any event, Kamala's in there, and she's just terrible. I'm not aiming at her personally. I'm just looking. Look at, again, the garbage truck scenario from yesterday, and then the ellipse speech, as Jesse pointed out, that was just pretty much blotted out by circumstances. Nobody remembers it. It didn't move the needle. It didn't do anything. This was her closing argument. It's not working. Why? How could such a bad candidate be installed there toward the end of July? And then later, how does she settle upon such a bad choice for VP? You know, the guy that's sleeping with the communist daughter in China, going back to the early 1990s. The guy who's revealed to be a liar, it seems, every other day. Most recently, the award for something by the Chamber of Commerce in Nebraska, going back to his early years, and here comes the Chamber of Commerce, you guessed it, saying, that never happened. Working at McDonald's, never happened. Coaching for this or that, yeah, didn't really happen the way I said. Being at Tiananmen Square when it happened, yeah, that didn't happen. The lies being exposed. And Donald Trump, for his part, doing a lot to expose it. Look what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up at McDonald's and work for 15 minutes and then tell you, the regime media, that I have worked at McDonald's for 15 more minutes than Kamala Harris. You think they wanted to report that? They had to report that. They were there waiting. They were waiting for Trump to trip up, and he didn't. And then they assemble around the garbage truck yesterday. And they talk about everything except Joe Biden's garbage remark. And yet Trump makes them cover it despite themselves. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.